thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's April 2020, and you're listening to episode 173, which is part of a special series during the COVID-19 2020 quarantine. Today's guest is Dr. Philip Tallon, who is an assistant professor of theology at Houston Baptist University, where he chairs the apologetics department and also teaches at the Honors College. Phil, it's good to have you on.
Oh, great to be here.
Well, we find ourselves in very interesting times. This, as I mentioned, is part of a new, hopefully brief series, just talking to journal authors during the time of the quarantine. And so how has your schedule changed, or has it changed much? And for you, what has been the easiest and also hardest adjustments?
Yeah, well, I think I'm probably getting a little better sleep these days because we don't have to. I have young children, and so we don't have to get them up and dressed and fed and off to school quite so early. So we've been enjoying some of the, slightly more relaxed schedule. We're able to have three meals together and family reading time after the meal, and that's all very delightful. Of course, there's, the challenge. My wife and I are both teachers, and so we're both still doing our teaching, just changing the platform on which we're teaching. And then, I've got some young children that still need some kind of help or, guidance. And so there's some of that pressure as well. And so I think a lot of people that I have talked to describe, that there are many enjoyable aspects of this quarantining. But there's also maybe a bit more difficulty somehow, like kind of really focusing in, especially if you've got, family at home, become distracted by the news. And so people kind of describe this as like, quarantine brain. You just, things just get a little bit fuzzy somehow.
So just spiritually, what has given you particular encouragement and hope during this time? And what has been maybe challenging for you?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've been surprised how much I've gotten nourishment from are sitting down as a family and virtually, watching our, pastor and musicians and so forth lead us in worship from home. It's such a strange thing to do, something that, we had never really done before, watching church online. And so, but I've been kind of surprised at how much I've enjoyed it. I think it's been quite delightful, and I'm I've enjoyed getting to see a lot of my friends who I went to seminary with, people who are pastors, adjusting, and the ways that their ministries are now public, and I get to watch a buddy who then now is like preaching and is playing guitar on Easter Sunday, and he's kind of the one man show for his church, and the ways that the kind of quarantine has created almost a more sort of intimate presentation of our, but also public presentation of our worship lives. So I think that's been quite delightful. Of course, one of the challenging things, we are in Texas, and Houston still has a growing number of cases, but supposedly haven't peaked yet. And so relatively speaking, things are calm here, compared with other places. But one of the challenges that we've had is that, we always enjoy having people come over to our house, and our house is sort of a hub for, for friends and family. And we have a kind of big loose network of people that are often in and out. And it's been quite painful to have to sort of have these conversations where we, are talking about, talking to people who now can't come over or can't come over like they used to. Now if you want to come by, you can sit, on the other side of the sidewalk in the front yard, and we'll bring your own chair and we can have a conversation or something like that. And I think that the pain of having to shift into this, mode where we're trying to follow the rules and take seriously the guidance that, is given for the sake of others. But yet the threat is not so present that it feels like you're being mean, is something that we don't enjoy and has been quite tough. And I imagine a lot of other people feel likewise.
I think sometimes we don't really acknowledge that it's okay to lament during this time. And so not something big, but what's something small that you've missed, a little lament of something small that you've missed in terms of your regular routine before being at home all the time?
Well, not attending Easter Sunday was something I didn't expect to be so difficult. You know, you know, 2 months ago, if you asked me, how much are you looking forward to going to church on Easter? I might have said, well, you know, everybody has to get dressed just right, and we've got to, you know, do the pictures and all this stuff, and, you know, it's kind of a busy day. And that was, you know, that was certainly a bit of a distressing thing. And then, you know, there's a lot of connection with just even my coworkers, just, you know, kind of, I think I get some energy and excitement from being in the office, you know, kind of a little bit of, you know, competition with each other to, you know, see how we're doing and, you know, challenge each other. And that, that's been a loss as well. Some of those just kind of weak tie connections, just, you know, acquaintances and being able to see them. And so as much as I've enjoyed this, you know, additional family time, you know, the closeness of the family during this whole season, you know, you do just, you know, really feel the pain of all the faces that you don't get to hang out with anymore and probably wouldn't Skype with or call because you're not that close.
Well, I've asked journal writers on here to give a word of encouragement to our listeners, something that would be helpful to them in their spiritual growth, to grow deeper in their walk with Christ as they are trying to wait out the uncertainty. We don't know what it'll look like or what quote unquote normal will be or when that will happen for us again, but what's something that you can encourage our listeners with?
Well, you know, a passage of St. Augustine's from one of his sermons comes back to me quite often. And so Augustine's sermons, he's preaching from a text, as pastors do. Augustine was a churchman, a bishop, and as well as a great theologian. And he, in one of his texts, which reflects on a passage that appears in Matthew and Mark's gospel, where the disciples have taken the boat out on the lake, Jesus with them, and a big storm comes up, and the waves apparently are sweeping over the boat, and and Jesus, as people familiar with the passage will know, is sleeping. And so the disciples wake him up and say, you know, Lord, save us, we're going to drown, and he rebukes the disciples, saying they have little faith, and then he rebukes the winds and the waves, and they're calm. And I really like what Augustine does with this passage. So say from Matthew 8, where he offers a kind of a spiritual reflection. And so here's, I'll quote from Augustine a bit at length. He says, "You have heard an insult. It is the wind. You are angry. It is a wave. And therefore the wind blows and the waves swell. The ship is endangered. The heart is in jeopardy. The heart is tossed to and fro. When you have heard an insult, you long to be avenged, and lo, avenged you have been. And so rejoicing in another's harm, you have suffered shipwreck." So he's talking about a very real thing that we can all understand. Someone insults you or slights you, and you become angry, and you want to get back at them, and your heart is full of turmoil, you know, the kind of thing you might feel at the end of a day, or if you read something that someone wrote, or, you know, just some of the difficulties of, you know, the workplace, or maybe your family life. And he says, he asks the question, though, why is this? Why is it that your heart is in this turmoil of wind and waves? And he says, it is because Christ is asleep in you. What does this mean, Christ is asleep in you? You have forgotten Christ. Rouse him up then. Call Christ to mind. Let Christ awaken you. Give heed to him. And I so love the image there of, you know, that our kind of our heart is the boat, and we're being tossed to and fro by the wind and the waves. And the reason that we are afraid or we are angry is because we've let Christ fall asleep, right? And so a practice that I've taken up in years since is when I'm feeling distressed, angry, or worried or something, is I remember what Augustine says. You know, he says, awake him up then, call him to remembrance. And so when I'm upset, I'll just kind of say, wake up, Jesus. You know, Jesus, wake up. And I find that, you know, that practice of, you know, reminding myself that, you know, Jesus is with me. And if I'm upset, it's because I've let him fall asleep. And it, there's something about it that, I don't know, seems it's prayable even in moments when you're kind of angry or upset, you know, is that you're asking Jesus to be with you and, you know, and present and to help you out. And so I would, you know, of course we're experiencing not a lot of difficulty right now. You know, some of the biggest difficulty is just having to juggle, you know, my emails and teaching with my son needs to do his work, but many people are suffering very serious turmoil, job loss, you know, health threats to their health, other sorts of difficulties. And so I find in these times, it's helpful just to have that ready to hand as a quick prayer one can pray, wake up Jesus.
Well, that's a good reminder to all believers that the Lord cares about us, even in the midst of something that seems overwhelming, like the storms that they were in, literal storms. So thank you for that word. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun quarantine related questions for Phil. So first of all, Phil, we're at home eating a lot more. Are you guys eating healthy food or are you eating comfort food?
Well, I'll say a lot of both. We're trying to, you know, eat, you know, fresh, healthy things. We've got our neighbor has a grapefruit tree and she's with her family because she's older. So we go over and shake the grapefruit tree, slice up all the grapefruits we want, and eating a lot of other kind of healthy, fresh, you know, fruits and vegetables. We've been fortunate that, you know, the store has had enough of what we need. But then, you know, it was also, we have some Girl Scout cookies we've yet to sell because of quarantine. And so our quantity of Girl Scout cookies keeps going down and down and down.
Well, and of course, there's been some shortages for various reasons, and one of those items in great demand is toilet paper. So the big question I'm asking everybody is, at your house, do you guys put on toilet paper over or under?
Oh, I think over is the right way to do it, and anyone who says otherwise is crazy.
Well, thanks, Phil, for your word of encouragement and for being on this special series of the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Very glad to be here.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest has been Dr. Phil Tallon. And during this quarantine time, we'd just like to point you to a lot of free resources on our website, equip.org. You can go there to read all kinds of articles, many of which Phil has written a lot for us, as well as film reviews for us. And you can search those at our website. In addition, please go back and subscribe to this podcast. If you go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, please find Postmodern Realities and you can go back and listen to more than 170 episodes. And thank you for being a partner with us and listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.